Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now when... Thank you, Jesus. Now when Pastor Vaughn said we have to take ground so that the enemy will flee, the congregation goes, amen. We're going to take some ground so the enemy's going to flee. Yeah, that's better. No, you need to respond like that. Was anybody encouraged last Sunday that was here? I want that to continue. That's part of the vision that I have for this place, is that the entheos, enthusiasm, Greek compound word, entheos, God in us, will be so infectious, so encouraging, so enthusiastic that the world will not be able to resist it.
Amen.
Now, as I was preparing for this, I was a little disturbed because I really didn't have a word until last night as to what the Lord wanted me to share in my 10 minutes or less. If that be possible, it will be a miracle. But it will. Because I believe in miracles. How about you? Okay, because we're a miracle-working church. Come on. Because we've had a name change. Abram went to Abraham. And he had to step out in faith to believe God that he was the father of many nations. And he had to do something. I don't have to explain what he had to do in order for that to be accomplished. But it would be supernatural because he couldn't do that on his own. How about Simon to Peter? Was there a change there? How about Saul to Paul? Was there a change there?
Yes.
Well, we've changed our name to King's Fire International.
That's right.
And I asked God, what does that mean? Because the community asks, what name is that for a church? And so the Lord told me, and then I asked the Lord this question. What is my part in it, Lord? What is my part in it? And so I broke it down. I said, Lord, Kings. He very quickly reminded me of a song by Scott Wesley Brown called Yahshua HaMashiach. And in those words of that song, it says, in describing Christ, his eyes were warm and tender, but there was fire in his hands. Jesus not only walked in love and compassion that was supernatural for people that couldn't be loved, but he moved in a power and authority. We sang the song. There's power in his name, there's healing in his name, and there's authority in his name. How many of you feel that your part of it is not only to bring the love of Christ to our community, but also to bring the power into this community so that they will know? My believers will. And signs and wonders will follow. If signs and wonders haven't been following, then you need to spend some time with the man who wrote the manufacturer's handbook on how to actually operate. And so the first thing is, Kings, we need to spend time with our King. Because you can't give something you don't have. And it's in his presence and in his anointing that you can go from here out to there. Jesus said, the whole of the law is filled in two things. Love God above all things and love your neighbor as yourself. Neither one of them is possible outside of the supernatural. So you need to go to God and say, Lord, I need some more of that. I need more, Lord. I need more. And you have to spend time with him. And the Word became flesh. Our King was the Word of God. And he came to this earth. And now dwells in you. And under the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Last Sunday, I looked at my notes for about 13 seconds. And I spoke for a half an hour. How would that be? From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as you go forth from this place, Kings Fire International, you will have the power of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to accomplish many things that your own mind can't accomplish. Fire. We will be moving in fire in this place. This is Vision Casting Sunday. I'm placing and I'm casting out a vision to this place that when you close your eyes, you visualize yourself working and ministering like Jesus did. And not playing some... I'm not irreverent here. I have to do this real quick. I can't explain myself. But you can't have these wimpy prayers. If it be your will, Lord, we have authority in his name, and you speak to the mountain, be thou removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. We are a church of fire. Now, as Abraham was a father of many nations, he was an old man. Was he a father of many nations when God spoke to him about that? No. Is everyone in this room moving in the authority and the power and the healing of God? No. But God calls you to be that. And he calls you to move in power. What's your role in it? It's to see yourself walking as Jesus walked, because greater things than he did, we will do. Do you believe it? How? King's fire. You want to know why I have so much fire? I was born into the kingdom with supernatural miracles. My dad was told he had 2 months to live by Sloan Kettering, and he lived 22 years after that. My sister was involved in a high-speed collision. She was in a Volkswagen Bug, broke bones from top to bottom. The only serious one was a third cervical vertebra. Her third cervical vertebra was broken. 1 week after that accident, they took x-rays again. They couldn't even find the break. I'm telling you, I'm born into it. So don't you tell me that the power of God was only for the apostles. The apostles in the first century. The power of God is for all those who what?
Believe.
Believe. Are you believers?
Yes.
Well, duh. International. And I'll close with this. We are going to go every place in the earth. But trust me, it starts here in Kingston. And the same miracles that they see in Africa are available to us on the streets of Kingston. And we're to go out and share the good news. Now, if you're going to do it in your own mind and you're going to work up this evangelistic approach that you're going to have to your... What God is calling you to do is just say, Father, I don't understand this because it's not in my own strength anyway. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And all of a sudden, you're starting to pump yourself up. You remember the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, I can do everything. Don't get in my way. Okay, you see, you got to get that. International. I'm going into Shawangunk. And I'm doing their Sunday service in just a little while. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have to leave immediately after this. And I'm doing a baptism. On Tuesday, they told me, Rich, can you do a baptism on Sunday? Oh, I couldn't turn that one down. Because I'm going in there, and I'm going in with the power and authority of God. And that baptism is going to be like nothing they've ever seen. This is a super max. These guys are 50-year-to-lifers, man. And they're my best friends. You want to know why? Because they're also my brother. Thank you, Jesus. And then from there, I'm going to go to downstate, and I'm going to do a Bible study. And I'm going to bring the power of God with me. Not only that, but I've got the armor on, and I'm going to put peace on my feet. So every place I go, what goes with me?
Peace.
I need that in my classroom, God. You only Lord knows. But you see, international means we're going to start in Kingston. We're going to go to the Hudson Valley. We're going to go to all parts of this country. And we're going to go all parts of the world. And the Lord will empower us to accomplish it. Because we're King's Fire International, and we're going to do the Lord's work. Amen.
Come on and bless him. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, let's bless him today. Come on, give God glory. Come on, come on, where the fire at? Come on, give him praise. Come on, get up at your seat for a minute. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him today. Come on and bless him. Because he is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified and honored. Amen. That's what it's all about. We got fire day and night. Not just when we come in here. When you're in the house, when you're on your job, in the mall, in the bank, it don't matter where you at. Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that lives inside of you. So if God can raise a dead man with no pulse and no heartbeat, what's wrong with you? I just want to talk a minute. We're going to Habakkuk 2. It talks about write the vision and make it plain. Put it upon tablets that they may run, that read it. That you may run with read it. The vision was written for the church through Jesus Christ in Matthew 28 and 19 when he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of this world. Amen? The purpose of the church, the controlling purpose of the local church, is to make disciples of all kinds of people. Those who are evangelized and converted should then be baptized, which we will do tonight, attesting to their identification with Christ. The baptism that you get tonight is for you to identify with Jesus Christ, not with the pastors, not with your brothers, not with your sisters, but for you as a new believer to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it's all about. And the local body of believers. The final phase of the Great Commission is to train disciples in the knowledge for effective service. All right? So we just ain't going to be seat warmers. You got a job to do. Amen? A church cannot choose one of the aspects of its responsibility and neglect the other. The Great Commission is a simple command in three steps: evangelize, baptize, and educate. The Great Commission is a strategy in which the Church of Jerusalem saturated the community. When something is saturated, that means no more can come in it. When the ground gets saturated, it will not take on no more water, don't matter how much it rains. Vaughn and them could attest to that when they was at his house when they got that big flood. They saturated their community with the gospel. And that's what we plan to do. Amen? The application is every Christian should determine that his ministry for Christ in the church upholds God's objectives for that institution. We are an institution of believers. And you have to understand, Jesus commissioned his church, first of all, to go. In everything that you do, I'm going. On my job, I'm going. In my house, I'm going. In the streets, I'm going. Because you got a pastor who's not going to sit still. If you think you're going to tie me behind these walls, you're crazy. I'm not the one, because I can't do it. It's just not in me. The evangelistic aspect is in my life. That's who I am. I don't care where you are. All you got to do is say one word, I'm stepping right in the door. And that's the way all of us should be. We had a wonderful outreach yesterday. Where's that lady that, stand up. She was there. Yeah, you. That's right. She was there, and she reclaimed her life to the Lord today. We had another family last night that Brian went out and ministered to. We're a church of power, and that's what we have to understand about this vision that is being casted today, that we are not going to sit still, all right? And another thing, we are changing. Ain't going to be no more outreach. It's going to be reach out. Because there's a total difference when you're reaching out for somebody. I'm reaching out for that hurt. I'm reaching out for that pain. I'm reaching out for you in that area of weakness. I'm reaching out to you. That's what we're going to do. We're going to reach out. And we got to get that bus thing going. Because there's a lot of people that was down there yesterday that said, I need a ride, if I could just get a ride. Thank you. Thank you that you came here. Why? Because just like the people in Jesus' day, guess what? They saw a great light yesterday. They seen a great light of love, a great life. So many people said, thank you for coming into our neighborhood. Thank you for doing this. Nobody else does this. I mean, we got the Christian bands. We got it on our cars. We got I Love Jesus t-shirts and all that other stuff. But see, Jesus, the only time he went into the synagogue was to beat up on them Pharisees. Read your Bible. That's the only time Jesus went to church. And a couple times he went to heal a couple people. But most of the time, Jesus had a keep it moving ministry. 100-mile radius. And guess what? He walked. with his disciples. We got all types of vehicles, all types of cars, and we can't show up to the meetings. See, we have to get past that point. Why? Because he said, go ye therefore making disciples. It's going to take some effort on your part. It's going to take some effort to sit with somebody. It's going to take some effort to go to their house. It's going to take some effort to show up on their job during lunchtime. Give up your lunch. Go to somebody else and make them disciples. Make them understand what a disciple is, a disciplined learner. But if you are not disciplined in your life, you can't discipline nobody else. And then he said, teach them whatever I have taught you. If you are not in the place of learning, if you are not in the place of teaching on Tuesday nights, we have so much to offer this world as a ministry. We have two of the greatest men of God in ministry today. That's right. I said we got two, not one, but two of the greatest men in ministry who have so much years of experience to pour into each and every one of us. But every Tuesday night, this place should be packed just like it is right now. If we are going to fulfill what God is asking this church to do according to his word. This ain't according to Pastor Don. This is according to what Jesus Christ, your Savior and your Lord, has said for every believer. All right? We have to start believing this thing. And we have to start letting this word interpret us instead of us trying to interpret the word. That's right. We need to let this word of God interpret us instead of us trying to interpret the word. See, because when we interpret it, that means, well, I don't think he really said that. That's what he really said. Go. That's what he really said. Go. All right? There's only two little letters. There ain't no messing that one up. All right? Ain't no way you can mess that one up unless you just don't want to do it. And I understand it ain't everybody's forte, but thank God for people like Mike. Mike participated in outreach, wasn't even here. Why? Because he dropped his trailer right out there. He did his part. There's something that you could do. Just like, listen, Pastor Don, I can't be here. Somebody, I don't know who cooked the chicken and did all that. There's so many things that you could do to help us that are on the front line. Don't think that, okay, I can't make it my job. There's other things that you could do and still participate so that other people will come into the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is about souls. That's what this is all about. This is about the one that has transformed my life, who is no respecter of person, that will do the same thing for you that he has done for us. But it's never going to happen, all right? It's never going to happen if we don't get up off our blessed assurance, okay? If we don't get up off our blessed assurance, start coming to these prayer services, start coming out on Tuesday nights and start getting involved. What can I do? I think John Kennedy said it best. Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Ask what part. What part can I play? If it's you just coming on a Saturday and watching somebody's children that has a desire to go, but they don't have no children, they don't have no babysitter. There's so many different options that you could do as being part of this institution called the church. Look how much stuff you do it for the institution called a job, and they will lay you off. All right? But at least in this institution, okay, he says, I know the plans that I have for you. God already got the plan worked out. The only thing that we have to do is step up into the plate and find out where is my place. And like I said, I know that's why it's called the body of believers, because your hands don't do the same thing your foot does. So we don't expect everybody to be reaching out. But we do expect other people to get into place to help us to reach out. So that's what it's all about. God has commissioned this church to go forth into this world. We just came back. They just came back from Zambia. And I can guarantee if you ask anyone of them that just came back, we have nothing to complain about in this country. I've been going to Africa since the year 2002. Twice a year I get on the plane, February and August. So I know, I've been to Africa. We have nothing to complain about. Their life is, that's just the way it is. We could change our life. We could change our life. But the most important thing, that I could change somebody else's life because of my life. So that's what we're going to be doing. Evangelist classes are going to start back up, which I teach evangelist classes. So you come in and understand this thing about evangelism and going forth. Because the more knowledge you have of God, the more you're going to love him, and the more you're going to want to do for him and to please your father. Same way you pleased your earthly parents, you wanted to be pleasing to them. We have to learn to be pleasing to our heavenly father. God has called a great work, and it's just the beginning. Steve and them are launching now, and we need to get behind him. Is it going to cost? See, because discipleship is going to cost you. That's what Jesus said, count the cost. It's going to cost you gas. It's going to cost you. See, because I know the mindset already, Friday night, that means I can check out. Ain't no more Friday night service. No, the Friday night service is in a new birth. Ain't nobody said you're checking out. Okay? The Friday night services are in Newburgh. So the same anointing and everything that you got, it should be able to make you fly right down the highway. And as long as the troopers ain't out, you can put it down. There's a 20-minute ride. All right? No. I ain't condoning that. But you understand what I'm saying about this great commission. And I'm gonna challenge you, because I love to challenge people in God. Anything you can do for 30 days will transform your life if you do it consistently. I'm going to challenge each and every believer in this house to read the Great Commission from this day forward for the next 30 days and have God speak to your heart along with all the other stuff you do, all right, or should be doing. Let God speak to your heart. Father, let this get in me, because once it becomes a part of you, it's just like breathing. You know what I have to do. Amen? So that's what we're going to do, and that's the challenge. For the next 30 days, Matthew 28, 19, and 20. It starts at 17. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And he already had it in the heavenlies. He said, now on earth, because he done took back what the devil stole from us. All right? And that's what we have to understand. We got it. We got the power. We got the power to change situations. We got the power to change circumstances. We got the power to change lives. But the thing of it is, am I willing to give up some of this other stuff that ain't adding no value to your life in the first place, to do something that's going to help change someone else's life? Why? Because the day that Christ got on that cross, he changed all of our lives. Amen.
You know, a lesser man might be intimidated trying to file with these two guys. Because I ain't got what they got. But I got something, and I got something for you. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Back to the beginning of this year, you know, this house, I mean, some of you were here, some of you weren't, but this house fasted and prayed together for most of the month of January, because we wanted to see a move of God. We weren't satisfied with doing church. We wanted it to become real. We wanted it to become personal. We wanted to be involved. We needed some fuel to be able to really take on that identity. So we asked for that move of God, and we received it. We received it. We prepared, and then when Roy and then Steve came, this revival hit this place, and we chose to be obedient and to respond to that revival, to allow that revival spirit to happen in us. Did we all do it exactly the same way at the same time? No. But we made a choice. And I want to tell you that at that time, early in February, I just want to, you know, repeat. I want to declare again what I declared before God at that time. I just told God, I said, I will be who you say I am. Most of us want to be, you know, who we say we are, or who we think we ought to be, or who TV says we should be, or You know, even who the pastor says we should be. But God's got your number, and he's had it since before you were conceived. He had a purpose for you. He had a plan for you, and he had a call for you. And it's all here waiting for you now. So when that revival came, we were all changed. We were literally blown away. This flood came through this place. You know, and they say the only way to survive an avalanche is to kind of like swim with it. So that's what we did. We just kind of swam with the avalanche. We were obedient to the call of the Spirit. We were open to it. We went with it. And most of what we normally were doing here, you know, we had to leave it by the wayside because we were so consumed with the presence of God and being transformed, and that's as it should be. But I want to say that just as we're, as individuals, we're called to graduate from mother's milk, you know, and those elementary teachings. We're called to graduate from there to the pure meat of the Word. In the same way, here as a house, you know, we need to graduate now. We are going to graduate now from just swimming along with the avalanche, and not just experiencing the move of God, but to take hold of that, assume the authority that each and every one of us here has, so that we can administer and distribute that move of God, that gift of God, throughout this community, throughout this area, and throughout the world. Like Don said, it comes with a cost. We all need to just step forward. But if you want your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers to experience the change that's happened in you, then we really need to act as a body. We are not intended, you know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, you know, that it's not about you. It's not my job to touch a heart. It's not my job to draw somebody to God. It's my job to put one foot in front of the other and be willing to open my mouth at the right time and let him speak. You guys are something. I have no idea. So look, we need, from where we are now, no matter what we do, we need to start where we are and move forward. So this is where we are now. I mean, look at us. Look at the potential we have here. Look at the power. Look at the heart for God that we have here. So let's start with that right now. Let's start with that right now and form this into an organized army. A lot of people doesn't make an army. Right? An army has to have some structure, some acknowledgement of authority. It needs a plan. So to whatever degree, I think that's my call here. I ain't got what these guys have got. I really ain't got it. But that's okay because, you know, foot, hand, eye, nose, ear, you know, we all have a piece. But my piece is to see all the parts. To see all the parts. To take note where there's a shortcoming or a need or a flaw. Because here's my commitment to you and my commitment to God in this house is that I intend to be an agent, a vehicle to make sure that the things that we say we're going to do for God in this community and in this world, that we do them. Because, I mean, how many of us have started something that we haven't finished? Yeah. How many of us are right in the middle of that right now? You know, not everything that we start should get finished. You know, sometimes we get started and we just say, yeah, I don't know if that was a great, I'm not sure that was a great use of my time and resources, you know, and we just, but this is a worthy call. This is a call from God to touch this community, to touch this world. So what we need to do now, to start now, and we have to some degree. I don't mean to imply that we're like at, well, it's not like we're at the starting line, we're going to shoot off the gun and go, because we're already running for it. We're already demonstrating by what we're doing that we're running for it. But we need to build a culture of revival here, a kingdom culture of revival. And that, culture. I had some thoughts on culture. What did I do with them? Here. What is culture? I mean, you know, I guess that's part of what I'm saying about kind of keeping an eye on everything and catching it, is that I want to make sure that we don't use some kind of, we don't use words, throw them out there and go, yeah, culture, yeah, we need a culture, you know. What is that? It's, well, I'll tell you what it is. It's how we live. That's what it is. It's how we live, and it's how we live together. The pieces of it are probably the foundational piece of any culture is, what do we believe? What do you believe? This is what I was speaking a couple weeks ago. What's your identity? What's your concept of yourself? What's your concept of authority? What do you believe? You know, and cultures are imposed, are disciplines. You know, within any culture, there's self-imposed limits and rules, but it's what we restrain ourselves from and what we drive ourselves toward. It's our disciplines. I mean, and it's our practices, our rituals, our group behaviors. These are all part of a culture. But it also takes, a piece of it also is relational boundaries, I'll call them. You know, it's who are you going to let in, where, and how far? But to keep this revival going, we need to have a culture to sustain it. We need to have this platform. It's a solid platform that we can stand on confidently together, so that we can invade this town, so that we can invade this world with the kingdom of God, with his message, rather than just sitting here and trying to look pretty and inviting them all in. Right? Because I'm not saying that there's no effectiveness to that. You know, there's many that do that and lives have changed. But that's not our call. That's not our call. Our call is to invade, to take ground. So we can't go forward in this reactive or receiving mode, just kind of responding to what comes along and just kind of doing our best to stay on our feet. You know, we have to be intentional and thoughtful about what we go forward to. So all of us together, corporately, and some odd use of word here, that corporately, we need to repent individually toward God, personally. It's something we need to do individually, but together. We need to repent toward God. Well, I'll tell you what that is. It's to acknowledge that through his move here, through this pervasiveness of the Spirit here, that we can see what God is doing here. It's not a mystery. We can see what God wants to do. So repenting toward God is to acknowledge that we can see that, say it for what it is, and join him. Join him. So, wow, this is a first, you know, because I normally don't have almost, I don't have much to say that doesn't involve Scripture. The Scripture people that I, the class that I read, I do every week there, I generally invite them to throw tomatoes at me if I talk too long, you know, as opposed to doing what I'm intended to do there, which is to let God speak to them through me. So, you know what, you know, the one thing I want to do, probably 6 weeks ago, I spoke to you in describing to you that we are a local church, you know, that was an aspect of who we are, you know, and the scripture that I used then is really the only model that I know of for, well, what do you do? Well, we can only do what's been done. We can only do what the model of Scripture tells us. So what did they do after Pentecost? Their lives were changed. A flood came through there. A flood of fire came through there and changed their lives. Their community was reached out to. Their community was changed. 3,000 people came to the Lord in one shot. But the model for what they did is, I believe, the model for what we need to do there in Acts chapter 2. I might sort of like glom together some pieces of 42 and 46 and 47, those verses, but they continually, steadfastly devoted themselves to the apostolic teaching and to fellowship. Welcome to fellowship. There's more fellowship tonight. And there's some more in Newburgh next Friday and Saturday here and Sunday. They continually devoted themselves to those things and to the breaking of bread. And as it says in another verse a little down, you know, in one another's homes. This is only part of it. Let's not make believe we all live our lives here in this room or in any meeting. We don't. We live our lives in our lives, in our homes, with the people we live with and work with, our families. That's where we need to reach out to. And to prayer. Right? Continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We can't do this unless we firmly come to agree with God about what he's doing. And the way to come to agreement with God about anything is to spend time in prayer. We need to be in, right there exposed to it. You know, the interesting thing, though, is that day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. This is our life groups. Our life groups are taking off again. It was a hiatus. This is what I was speaking of when certain structures and things were kind of swept away by the flood. But we're pulling this back now. We're pulling back together the framework of how to do church in revival. They're taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, and this is the great part, and having favor with all the people. You have a blessing that this community needs. You have a blessing that everybody you know needs. And all you got to do is agree with that. All right. The last, in Hebrews 6, it says, it speaks about the rain. It actually speaks about the ground. So I'm going to try to fly this as a metaphor for us here. That it says the ground that drinks the rain that often falls on it, and it brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it's tilled, receives a blessing from God. So, my point is this. The ground receives the rain. We receive the outpouring of the Spirit here. The ground is tilled. We allow God, you know, who do we let in, how far, and for what? But we allow God to mess with our lives here, you know, to be tilled. But it's not for us. What does the scripture say? It brings it forth for those for whose sake it is tilled. So, for whose sake are we being watered and tilled? Who are you being watered and tilled for? It's not for you, but it is for a purpose. That's it.
Praise God. Last thing I'm going to say, just two scriptures, and that is this. Jesus said, when he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Now that's a sign of revival, would you agree? And I'm going to quote the King James, because I don't know why I can't remember any other version on this verse. And I like the King James on this. It says, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou wouldst see the glory of God. If you would believe, you'll see the glory of God. But you can be in the midst of the glory of God in an unbelieving position and not see it, even though it's there, because you can only see it by faith. How many times you've been in a meeting, you are so knocked out by the presence of God, you don't know what to do with yourself, you're lying on your face, you're weeping, you're just crying out to God, you can't breathe, and somebody next to you is picking their nose. They're totally unaware that Jesus has turned up. Well, at least you remember the example. But on the way home from Africa on the plane, Jesus was speaking to me of some of his hard sayings. And the one I just want to say in closing is this. When he said to Thomas after the resurrection, be not unbelieving, but believing. And I just believe the church world is full of unbelieving believers. And we don't want to be those people. Did I not say unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God, the resurrection life? You will see it if you believe. If you don't believe, well, then you won't see anything. So I want to encourage you. What we're going to do now is we're going to close with a song that came out of this revival that our church administrator and Sister Carrie Politia wrote. And the musos are going to come up. We're going to sing this song because this has just been one of the most beautiful songs that has come out. I want to thank God that Bob and Carrie are going to actually put together the songs that they've written during this revival. The song we sung this morning, Steve wrote just last week, wasn't it, Steve? You can always tell when there's a move of God when the songs are coming out. And many songs have come out of this move of God. But this song, for me, is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. Last night, it just knocked me over. I couldn't stand. But I want us all now.